Grace Point. Glad that you're here this morning. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. Now, let me do, if you have your Bibles, let me encourage you. James chapter 2, verse 1 is where we're going in just a few minutes, but we have some other work on some other things that we need to do as we get started, though. James chapter 2, verse 1 is where we'll begin here in just a few minutes. Let me share, though, a number of different things that are happening at Grace Point. It's been a busy summer, but it's getting busier here with in the next few months. So I mentioned last week, I'll mention every week, I'm sure up until September, the series we're doing in September, the biblical response approach to mental illness and what the Bible has to say about that, depression, anxiety, mental illness, and how do we work through that, and then how do we come along people who are going through that and encourage them. So that's coming in September, so just keep that on your calendar. Please make plans to be here every weekend to support and encourage those. And then if you're walking through some of those things, we want it to be a place of safety and refuge for you to come and you'd hear truth and to find encouragement and resources during September as we talk about that. So that's coming quickly. Baptism Sunday is August the 25th, so if you haven't been baptized by immersion but you've surrendered your life to Christ, we want to encourage you to pray about taking that next step. You can sign up out in the lobby or on the website. You can go to the website and click on that baptism banner, and it'll take you to a sign-up sheet, and we can then reach out to you and talk to you about that and about that next step. So that's coming quickly. The Men's Road Rally, August the 24th. So, guys, a great opportunity for you to come connect with other guys and have a fun time doing that. We meet here at Grace Point at 8 o'clock on August the 24th, you can sign up online. You can pick up cards out in the lobby also with more information about that. So I want to encourage you guys to really think about being involved in that. It's a great opportunity for our men's ministry and guys just to get connected, okay? And then our discipleship groups, our Grace Point groups are starting back up August the 21st, August 21. So out in the lobby and online, there's information in the lobby. Online, there's information about all of our groups also. So from Sunday morning to Wednesday night to weeknight groups, a lot of different opportunities for you to get connected. So that's coming quickly. Let me encourage you to pick one of those up or go online, and you can get more information about the different groups that are going to be starting in the next couple of weeks. Okay, I need to talk to you a little bit about our children's ministry and something we're doing just that's in line with our discipleship ministry. So on Wednesday nights, we'll have our adult classes going on. The students will be meeting in the youth building, and then we always have ministry for our children in our children's building. So this year, on August 21st, that same night that the adult groups start, we're going to have a children's class for K through fifth grade. This class is going to be a class that teaches kids foundational biblical truths called catechisms, okay? Catechisms. So let's talk about that word for a minute. Said to you last week, right? Get out of your comfort zone. So the word catechize literally means, in the original language, to teach biblical truth in an orderly way through questions and answers. That's what the word means. Catechisms, then, are what we believe are the biblical foundational truths that we teach to our children. Catechisms, that's what it means. So I know a lot of different things come in our minds, you know, and we think about the Catholic brothers, but that's what we think about catechisms. That's what a catechism is, the foundational biblical truths that we believe here at Grace Point Church. So what we're going to do on Wednesday night then is we're going to have a class. We're going to have a class for our kids, K through fifth grade, that will teach them these foundational biblical truths. And we're using this book called the New City Catechism. I bought this a couple of years ago just for my own study and started working through it. I love it. I think it's great. It's right to the point. There are 52 biblical truths / catechisms that we'll be teaching to the kids, not only for the kids, but also for adults. So running parallel to the kids' class will also be an opportunity for you to come and to sit in the adult class. This is the book for the adults. They'll be teaching in that class the exact same biblical truth catechism that week that the kids are learning. So if you want to do that with them, it's a great opportunity for you to do that. I know sometimes that doesn't work. Maybe your kids aren't over in that building. You can still come to that class if you would like. You can bring your kids to that class. You don't have to go to the adult classes. It's a lot of flexibility there. But we're providing this for our kids ministry and also for our adults. Okay, now, let me just kind of give you an example. So out in the lobby here, out in the lobby, children's building, and online on our website, you have more information about this, okay? These books are out in the lobby here. There's sign-up sheets out there. You can also sign up online. This is the adult version. This is the kids' version, okay? So I'll give you, and it's hard to, I can't really see it from there, but I'll give you an example. So question 16, or you could say catechism 16, what is sin? That's the question. Here's the answer. Sin is rejecting or ignoring God in the world he created, not being or doing what he requires in the law. See, very simple right there. That's what we would consider biblical truth, the catechism right there. So kids would then learn that. What is sin? And then they have a biblical response. There's a scripture verse with every response. This is what the Bible teaches about sin. So it goes through everything from the Lord's Supper to baptism to, here's another one. Does Christ's death mean all our sins can be forgiven? The answer is yes, because Christ's death on the cross fully paid the penalty for our sin. God will remember our sins no more. That's another one, okay? So we go through that. There's 52 foundational beliefs that we will be teaching to the kids on Wednesday nights, that those who choose to go through it as adults, you also be going through this. Now, let's say you can't even come to this and it doesn't work out or whatever. You can buy these anywhere. You can buy these online on Amazon. It's where I bought mine. So here's what I would say to you. There is perhaps no greater time than right now that we as parents need to make sure we are teaching our children the foundational beliefs from God's Word. Amen? You need to, look, as you're loving, now my kids are older and we zeroed in when they were younger. We still, you know, want them to embrace that, you know, even as adults, but it starts at a young age, right? And so I want to encourage you, you know, to be if Wednesday night doesn't work for you to get them in, then find another way to do that. Buy it and do it on your own, you know, step by step, question by step, but it's through question and answers, okay? That's what catechism, so it's teaching God's word, right? Teaching God's word through, in the foundation, it's through questions and answers. That's what sets it apart in terms of catechism. To question, and then you give the answer, and that's teaching the biblical truth. So we need, our kids need this. Your kids need this, right? To have this foundation as they're growing up, right? In our children's ministry, and then as they go to our student ministry, and that's reinforced. And then as young adults, they have these foundational beliefs, then they get married, and they have kids, and they pass those on to their kids. But look, as our kids go out into the world, right, they need a sure, steady foundation. They need that, especially as they finish high school, and then as they go, right? And many are getting ready to go, right? And as parents, you're praying for them that as they go, they remember, right? That things are based on what the truth and that God's protecting them. And when they have these foundational truths, man, that's what they lean on. And so we want to come alongside and we want to pour into the kids and we want to teach them these foundational truths on Wednesday nights through this class. So here's how we've kind of set it up. So the way we structured it to start is to take 50 kids. Now, if we have more than that sign up, then we'll figure it out, okay? But as far as structuring it with leadership and kids, we want to take 50 kids because it's more intentional. It takes a little more personal time where we come alongside the kids and help them and have that teaching time and we're encouraging them. There's been a lot of effort through Julie and people over there, other leaders that are investing in this and they're going all in to teach the kids the foundational truths from God's word. And so I want to encourage you to pray about that, to think about that, to sign your kids up if you want to be involved in that, if it works for schedules and things. I know things are crazy, but we want to offer that to you. And then if you want to be involved as an adult, that's great. You can come to the Wednesday night class. Like I said, even if you can't do that, your kids can still come, or you can go to the adult class, however that needs to look. On our website, you have more information about it. You can sign up from the website. And then the lobby I mentioned, and then there's an app. There's an app. So if you go to your into search apps, New City Catechism, it'll pull up the app. And that app has a lot of information. You can look through it. It has the catechisms on there as you're teaching through. Maybe your kids are learning. You want to keep up with that. You can learn through the app, okay? So that's coming in a couple of weeks. So just be thinking through that. We're looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a really solid, biblically Christ-centered teaching time for our kids to really get into their hearts and settle in their hearts the truth of God's words. And what we believe here at Grace Point is foundational from God's word and what we believe. So be praying towards that. Okay, all right, let's go to James chapter 2. Before we get into the teaching, let's pray. Will you pause with me and pray? I think we need to remember our brothers and sisters in El Paso, certainly. Then I heard this morning another situation, tragedy in Ohio where there was a shooting. So let's just pause and pray for them and then ask God to speak to us through his word this morning. So, Father, we are... And we're grateful for your presence, Lord, for your strength, that you are the God of comfort, that you will come alongside these families and communities that are walking through this time of tragedy and this time of loss and I'm sure time of fear and anxious and anxiety and unsettledness, Lord. So we pray that in these times, all of us, and especially for these communities, that you will bring comfort, God, that they will turn to you for that strength and comfort as they walk through the tragedy, as they grieve through the loss, as they mourn and as they struggle. We know you're the great provider. We know that you are faithful, God, and that you restore hope in all situations. You restore faith. We pray, God, that you do that in the lives of those who've been impacted, so many, through this tragedy. So we lift them up to you. We thank you, God, that you are sovereign, that you are all-powerful, God, and that even when we don't understand things, we know that you're in control. And so we look to you, Father, for all that we need, and we pray that for the people in these communities too. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. All right, James chapter 2. So James chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through verse 8, and then we're just going to really take the first couple of verses today, okay? All right, so here's what he says. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. So that phrase right there, if you write in your Bible, if you underline, if you highlight, and you're following along, I would encourage you to circle that phrase, the Lord of glory. I'm going to go back to that in a minute, and that's where I'm going to kind of step down on that for this morning, okay? For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, shows up at Grace Point Church this morning, walked right by you, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes into Grace Point. And if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers. So he's reacting. He's not proactive. This is going on with the brothers and the sisters. James has seen it happen. All right, so he's writing to them in this reactive mode here. He says, verse 4, have you not then made distinctions? And he says, verse 5, listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith? We'll talk about this next week. And heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him. But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich ones the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? Verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. So let's stop right there for just a minute. So there's one, I just want to focus on one thing today, really the first takeaway in the first verse where he says, my brother, show no partiality, and we'll talk about that, or no favoritism, depending on your translation, which we're gonna back into that next week, okay? I want to focus on, as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. I want to talk about that today, the Lord of glory. Here's why. You're going to see, you have to settle this. You have got to settle this part before you're able to do the other. This issue of glory is what he's talking about. So takeaway number one is this, the one thing I want you to get today. Glory never terminates this side of heaven. I've said that before, but it's informative of the takeaway today. Glory never terminates this side of heaven. It should never terminate this side of heaven. You see the last phrase where he says, hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. So James chooses to focus on Christians trusting Christ, and then he says, the Lord of glory. So why is that there? And I think the reason that that is there, because what James saw happening is the main idea here of partiality has to do with craving for human glory. So stay with me on this. Think that it has to do with the craving for human glory. The idea that I want some credit here. I want people to see me. I want people to give me credit. I want some of the affirmation. I want some of the glory. And that runs deep inside of us in the flesh, right? That we want the glory. And so that's what some of them were dealing with and struggling with, is this idea of human glory. And so they were showing favoritism to the well-to-do rich person because they believed that that person could help them in their quest to have more glory. Now, you get that through a number of different ways. This person going in dressed this way, wanting people to say, hey, look at me, right? And so they're drawn to that because they desire that. And that person could help them get there. They will benefit in some way from this well-to-do person. So let's sit them in the good spot. Now, the person who's poor, put them over here because they won't help me much. That's what's going on. It's the favoritism. So the idea is, with these people over here, I have the spirit of I can get from them and benefit. Whereas over here, I can't get anything from them. But what James is saying, the spirit towards both needs to be not about what we can get, but then about what we give. What we give. Not just to the poor, but also, it's not to only the neglect this person, but you're showing favoritism, he's saying, because you see that this person who is receiving glory, that you desire that too. And maybe in some way they can help you get to that place. Or you like that and you want to be a part of that. And that's why he's saying here, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. It's the idea about not being a glory stealer. So James' point is, if you know Christ as the Lord of glory and you trust in him, the one who is gloriously strong, the one who is gloriously wise, the one who is gloriously loving, then you won't be controlled by this craving for human glory. Instead, you will say, Christ is my glory. Christ is my security. And so then I begin to understand that it's not about me, that it's about God. Okay? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Let me just read it. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, he says, do all to the glory of God. That pretty much covers it, doesn't it? Whatever you do in your marriage relationship, for the glory of God. In the way that you do your job, for the glory of God. In the way that you perform on the athletic field, for the glory of God. in the way that you handle your finances for the glory of God. Everything that you do, he says, in everything, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Don't let that glory terminate right here. It shouldn't terminate this side of heaven. Now, he's 1 Corinthians 10:31. Paul writes that because of Isaiah 43, where he says in Isaiah 43, I don't have the verse up there, but that we were created by God and for God to live for the glory of God. Okay, so now if you don't settle this one, okay, and I know sometimes it has to settle in our hearts, but if we don't settle this one, then it's going to impact the way we see people too. We can fall right into this trap and impacts the way we do everything we do. It impacts. But when we settle it and we understand and we embrace this idea, this biblical truth, right, that we were created by God and for God for the glory of God, it begins to shift how I see things. And then what it does is I have more of a willing heart to give and not just about what I get from people and from everything. So if you're taking notes on your outline there, when we talk about the glory of God, it's used in a variety of ways in Scripture. So I try to just summarize. The glory of God refers to God's greatness, his honor, his beauty, his power, and his light. The glory of God refers to God's greatness, to his honor, to his beauty, to his power, and his light. In every case, the glory of God acknowledges the Lord's supreme strength and our need to both acknowledge and serve him. One more time. In every case, the glory of God acknowledges the Lord's supreme strength and our need to both acknowledge and serve him. Right, so we live for the glory of God, that we're pointing to one who's true and greater. We're living for the glory of God. Psalm 19, verse 1, even a more practical side of it. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. All right, so here's the idea. Very simple, but very powerful. You start to get into this mindset. It starts to just flow. You start to see things differently. It starts to spill out onto your kids because they see the way you're responding. So this verse right here, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaim his handiwork. So you're walking on the beach. You're on vacation this summer. You're walking on the beach. It's nighttime. You have this amazing sun setting on the water, and you stop and you stare and you go, man, that is beautiful. And then you finish the sentence. You Psalm 19:1. Isn't God amazing? And your kids hear that. And people around you hear that. And you stand at the Grand Canyon and you go, man, breathtaking. Look at this. This, oh man, I thought I knew, but I now look this. What creation. Finish it. Isn't God powerful? You see, that's the, even in a small way, but that's the discipline of the glory of God. You're giving God your blessing. You've worked hard. God's blessed you with a promotion or blessed you financially. You celebrate that. You enjoy that. You worked hard for that. But then you say, thank you, God, for what you've done for me, for what you've done for my family. You're praying with your kids through a difficult situation and walking them through the difficult situation, whether it's at school or friends or whatever it may be, and you walk them through. You're praying them through that, and they get through that on the other side. And you say, so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. And isn't God great? Look what he did. Look how he got you through that. You see that? That's the mindset that we live and breathe and everything we do for the glory of God. It's not for our glory. It's not just to see me. Now, that doesn't mean we don't appreciate people. That doesn't mean we don't encourage people. But we understand, right, that at the core of us as believers and a foundational, fundamental belief, we call it a catechism, that we believe. Why were we created? We were created for the glory of God, Isaiah 43. That's why we're here. John Piper, great author, writer, pastor, he says, the glory of God is the manifest beauty of his holiness. It is the going public of his holiness. It's the going public of his holiness, okay? Greatness, holiness, power. It's the way he puts holiness on display for people to apprehend. Grab. So the glory of God is the holiness of God made manifest. And so what we're called to do is to glorify God through everything that we are doing. When we settle that, it impacts the way, what James is saying, it's going to impact the way we treat people, right? That it's not the only thing. We're going to talk next week with more, but that's foundational as he kind of starts off, and he saw that happening. Glory never terminates this side of heaven. So I want to finish really, I'm just going to finish this message with an illustration. It's kind of lengthy, but it gets to the point, and then, you know, we'll pray together. So Kids Zone Academy, I want to talk to you about Kids Zone Academy for a few minutes. So Kids Zone Academy started approximately 7 years ago. Emily Henson started. She's a member of our church, Emily and Brad Henson, and member of Grace Point. And I talked with her about 7 years or so ago and to begin a weekday preschool ministry. Kids Zone Academy started. The first year, there were 20 kids, 20-ish, 23, 24 kids. Over the last 7 years, that ministry has grown. That ministry has been blessed. She's added staff. She's added kids. She's added families. And this school year, which they're preparing for now, will start soon. They have almost 100 kids enrolled in that ministry for this year. Every room is full. We have put a wall in one of the bigger rooms to create additional room over there. The Sunday morning group benefits by that too, though, because that's continuing to grow. And so we did that to create more space for Kids Zone Academy, too, to continue to minister to families and to preschoolers. Been a great ministry. She's done a fantastic job leading out with that. Has a great staff of teachers that come alongside. Listen, I'm involved over there. I know what happens over there during the week. I'm over there teaching chapel. I'm over there involved. I see what's happening, and it is a powerful ministry of the way they love on the kids, the way they engage the parents. It's a God-ordained thing. And so one of the things that they're doing over there, because now they have close to 100 kids, we've got one playground right here. You've seen this playground. And at the end of the school year last year, Emily shared with her families, her Kids Zone Academy families, the need for an additional playground, okay, just to be able to handle all of the kids and all that's involved with that. So they can't just do it on this one playground. So she shared with her Kids Zone Academy families the need for an additional playground and the cost and all the detail of it, and she cast a vision. Now, let me just tell you this. I wasn't aware until we bought this one. I don't even remember when it was. It was a few years ago. How expensive playgrounds are. Some, they take play seriously on those playgrounds. So I thought, well, surely it's not that much. Let's check. So we checked all around and wound up getting a good deal. And that one, so the playground plus area and all that stuff was $15,000. So $15,000. Just only $15,000. And so I should have said it that way. It was just only $15,000, okay? So it's a lifetime deal. It's great. Sunday morning, Wednesday nights, we use it, obviously. Kids Zone Academy uses it, okay? So because of the growth of that ministry and also the growth of our Sunday morning ministry, but also Kids Zone Academy ministry, they need another playground. So she cast that vision, and they're going to be putting a playground outside the far end of the children's building, okay, where the Gaga pit is, where that fence is, okay, around the corner at the back, at the end of the building is where they're going to put that, okay? Seemed to be the best place for it. Now, there's an incline there, so they're going to have to go in there and do dirt work and level that thing out, right? And then with this playground, they're going to put a different what's the word? Brad, what's the word? Huh? Surface. Thank you. Sorry. It's like the third service, so I should know by now. A different surface. Right here we got mulch. I know I'm talking about detail stuff, but I'll move. Mulch, you know, they're trying to do a different surface there. Included in the cost is doing a different surface out on this one, okay? Total cost, that was 15. Total cost, that one is 19. Okay, so about 19 grand to do that, all right? So she shares this with her her Kids Zone Academy families. They start raising money. Because of the impact of that ministry on Grace Point and how just blessed it is, I feel like we need to jump in on this deal. That's why we're talking about it. Okay, now I'm going to lead to a point back here in a minute. But So I think we need to jump in on this deal. So I want to encourage you, as I did in every service, I want to encourage you to pray about giving to that ministry, okay? To Kids Own Academy ministry. Now, here's the deal. Here's what you need to understand. Understand this, my friend. You are not just giving to a playground, okay? I mean, catch the vision, okay? Catch the vision. Understand the vision is being fulfilled, and that is to provide a weekday, a gospel-centered weekday ministry to preschools that will build a foundation in the lives of these young children and their families that will radically influence them for the rest of their lives. Amen to that? We're talking about kids a lot today, man. We care about kids. That's what that ministry is all about. I've seen it. I'm a part of it. I'm invested in it. That's what's happening over there. Man, it is gospel-centered. We're teaching chapel. I'm teaching the gospel over there. The way the teachers love on the kids, these kids are experiencing the love of Christ, the word of God in a safe place. They are learning. They are loved, valuable, seen, needed, cared for, important. And they are getting it, man. They soak it up, those kids. And then what happens is those kids, it begins to then spill out onto their families. And then there are a number of families that started over there, and they're now Grace Point Church members. See them every week. I see you every week. But they started over here, and they were influenced, and they came, and now they're a part of Grace Point Church, right? And so starting there, and now as adults, their lives are being impacted, right, by the teaching of the Word of God. So understand when you give, and I challenge you, you're giving to the vision, man. You're giving to the vision that's going to impact the lives of kids for years to come as that thing will be out there. And families, too, as we minister to the kids. There's envelopes around you that say Grace Point Tithe. You can just write KZA on there. If you want to give to it, put it in these boxes when you leave. You can reach out to Emily this week, emily@gracepointdenton.com. emily@gracepointdenton.com. She will answer questions. Maybe you want to think about it. Give next week. But I want us as a church to get behind her and to bless her and that ministry. Man, the Lord is doing great and mighty things. They're hearing the gospel over there. When I'm over there and I preach, I'm teaching chapel to them. I teach the gospel to them, you know. Now, look, I understand. I get the fact that they don't. When I stand in front of 100 preschoolers and I say to them, I'm telling chapel story, and I say to them, okay, everybody say gospel. And they all say gospel. And I'll say, means good news. And they say, means good news. And then I'll say, and the good news is Jesus died on the cross for your sins. I recognize as preschoolers, they don't stop and go, oh, thank you, Pastor Dave. I want to pray to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I understand that they aren't going to do that at that right time, right at that time. But you know what? For every week they're over there in chapel, they're hearing gospel. They're hearing good news. They're hearing Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And we are laying the foundation. So when they get to that age and they hear the gospel presentation, there's going to be a time we pray that they respond to the gospel. And they are saved, spend eternity in heaven because of that ministry and what God is doing in their life. Now, I get that, right? That they're not going to, but it's laying that foundation. And we think that's so important and so critical here. So I want to encourage you, if you want to give to that, you can drop in these boxes when you leave, or you can give next week, or reach out to Emily and she can answer more questions. But I really want us to encourage her and bless that ministry, okay? Now, I'm going somewhere with it, okay? Here's where I'm going with it. Let's just say, now, this is a hypothetical illustration, totally hypothetical. Let's just say we decided, hey, to save some money, let's put the playground together ourselves. Okay? Okay, look. Don't email me, okay? Some of you guys are going, I think we can do it, you know? No. It never ends well. I mean, I say curse words, and I'm a pastor, and you start saying ugly things, and I mean, it won't work, okay? I've seen them put together this one. You need a professional installer. We would not be friends anymore. It would just be bad. So let's just let them do that, okay? And what takes them 2 days would take us about, you know, who knows. But let's just say, though, we got this hypothetical situation where we get a group of guys together and gals, and we all meet out there, and we're going to start putting this thing together. And so we put it together. It's supposed to take 2 or 3 or 4 days. It takes like 3 months. But we get it done, and it's out there. And you came in this morning, and you saw that thing out there, and there were kids playing on it, and it's a beautiful playground, and kids are being ministered to, and families, and it's a blessing. And that first Sunday, we come in here, we celebrate. And so what I do is I take all the tools, that you use, the people use to build that playground. And I put all the tools right along here. I got the air compressor. I got all the guns you needed, the air compressor, the drills and the pliers and the screwdrivers and all the things needed to put that together. And I line them up here and I say, man, guys, Grace Point, the playground is complete. Let's give the tools a round of applause. Yeah. You go, man, you got a problem, dude. You look at me like you are right now. You'd say, well, how about let's bring the people up here who had the tools in their hands and let's give them some credit for what was accomplished, because without those people, those tools are nothing. Can you make that jump? Make that jump? When we say, look at me, look what I've done, give me some credit, we're just acting like all these tools right here wanting the credit, when in fact, the one who deserves the ultimate credit and the glory is the Lord of glory, and we are tools in his hands. It never terminates this side. Get over it, man. Get over yourself. When you can grab a hold of it, it's going to change the way you do marriage. When you can grab a hold of it, it's going to change the way you see your children, the way you parent. I'm telling you, it runs deep. That's why he starts with it. It impacts areas you never thought of. Just like this. What's the glory of God have to do with showing partiality? That's it right there. Is it deep within us? Is this craving for glory? In Matthew chapter 5, I'll finish with this, verse 16, it says this. Jesus says this, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Okay, light is not self-serving. It's not. It gives light to all in the house, right? He goes on in the same way. Let your light shine before others so that they, they, point outward, man. No, we're not glory stealers. So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. He just bypassed us. They may see your good works. James 1, James 2, James 3, 4, all of James, the works, right? What do we do? See your good works and give glory to. Now, hey, great. Look at you. Look at him. Look at her. They're great. They're awesome. They're godly. Hey, there's going to be times, you know, people. We should encourage. We should appreciate. We should come alongside. We should bless. We should bring, you know, affirmation when people. I mean, I think that's important. At the end of the day, though, hey, at the end of the day, we recognize we were made by God. We were made for God. We were made for the glory of God. And I'm always going to finish the sentence. I'm going to say thank you. People, you do some people affirm thank you, thank you. Right? Isn't God great? Look what God's done. At Grace Point Church, 2005, 42 people to today. Man, isn't God great? Look what God has done. Because John 15, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. We were created by God, for the glory of God. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Will you stand with me as we pray?